being a celebrity and having your personal life, or shall I say, your divorce in the spotlight is tough. Recently, two big celebrity custody cases garnered a lot of media attention because both cases involved more than one jurisdiction, since the famous parents live in more than one state. I'm talking about singer Joe Jonas and his estranged wife, Sophie Turner, which we're going to get to with our next guest, and ex-lovers Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, who just settled their custody dispute over their two children. Joining us to talk about these situations is Rebecca Freno, counsel with the law firm of Mandelbaum Barrett. Rebecca has over a decade of experience handling high-conflict divorces that involve child custody cases, orders of protection, spousal and child support, and other legal matters that arise during and after a divorce. Rebecca, welcome.
Hi, Alyssa. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for always joining us. And as we just said, Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner, Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, each custody matter boiled down to the same question: what jurisdiction should appropriately hear each couple's case? That is why you're going to educate us on UCCJEA, which stands for Uniform Child Custody Jurisdiction and Enforcement Action. Oh gosh, help us understand this.
It's certainly a mouthful and a brain full. So let's start here. It's important to understand what the main goal of the UCCJEA is, and that is to decide who hears custody cases. We're not talking about who actually makes the decision on custody itself. So we're not even talking about the substantive custody case, who should get legal custody, who should get physical custody. We're literally talking about which court is the appropriate court to even hear the case. It's a threshold inquiry. So the bottom line of this is that the UCCJEA is intended to address which court is the right one to hear a custody case. Now, it's important to understand that the UCCJEA, as you said, is a uniform state law. It was actually drafted by a national commission, but it was left to each state to decide whether to adopt or enact it or their own version. Right now, the majority of states have adopted or enacted their own version of the UCCJEA, New Jersey being one of them. We actually enacted our version in 2004. So this legislation dates back well over 20 years at that point, and there were even earlier versions. But again, the bottom line is that when you have people who perhaps they reside in multiple states, like Jason and Olivia, or Joe and Sophie, or parents who perhaps travel a lot for work, or parties who one party's fleeing for domestic violence reasons from one state to another, sometimes we find ourselves in situations where courts have to ask when dealing with custody matters, wait a minute, am I the right place to actually hear this action? Again, that's what the UCCJEA is intended to do. It's a very threshold inquiry on jurisdiction before you even get to the custody battle itself.
Yeah, and when a case like this is brought to the court's attention, you say a judge is going to begin by asking both sides a lot of basic questions. What are they?
So I'll boil it down to really two, but then I want to talk about how they go about this. The very first question a judge generally asks is, well, what are you asking me to do? Are you asking me to modify an order? Are you asking me to take temporary emergency jurisdiction? Are you asking me to enforce a custody order or judgment in existence? Are you asking me to make an initial custody determination? In this regard, it's really no different than most litigation that would occur and that what you would bring to a court. A judge is always going to look at you and first ask, what am I supposed to do here? What do you want me to do? The second question is, tell me why I can. And that really gets to the heart of the UCCJEA. When you have odd fact patterns, Jason and Olivia are a great example. It was a New York versus California custody battle, I believe. Even Joe and Sophie, you can see there's two jurisdictions. Courts often sit down, and after you ask them to do a specific thing, they will look back at you and say, well, okay, why can I do that? Am I the right court to be deciding an issue of custody? Do the kids live here? The result of these two very basic questions is a process that tends to be mechanical under the UCCJEA statute. The statute is very detailed. It is very lengthy. It sets forth bases for jurisdictions. But in that sort of mechanical inquiry, it tends to be very fact-centric. Courts look into the circumstances of it. That necessarily makes the process expensive. But again, that's necessary if you're going to move through this battle of who should hear the case. But it basically starts by asking, what are you asking me to do and why can I do it?
You said these cases are both mechanical, fact-centric, and obviously expensive. So can you give us some examples of the kind of questions that are asked to determine whose jurisdiction this case should fall under? I don't know if they care about how long the kids have been in school, who their doctors are. Help us understand.
Sure. So if you recall, I just said that the very first question a judge will ask is, what are you asking me to do? So after you tell them what you want them to do, whether, again, it's to make an initial determination, modify an order, enforce an order, or even take emergency jurisdiction, the next set of questions that is going to be asked relate to what I told you to earlier. Tell me why I can do it. So in doing that, you have to understand what the UCCJEA sets forth in terms of bases for jurisdiction. Not everybody can just come to New Jersey and file a custody action. You have to, under the UCCJEA, identify that there's jurisdiction under one of these four bases. The first is home state. Well, what does that mean? The home state is a state where the child has lived with a parent or a person acting as a parent for at least 6 months before the custody action was filed. So if you're going to argue that New Jersey has home state jurisdiction, you're going to need to tell a judge where parent A and parent B live and where the child actually lives. You're going to want to identify an address, a home. I like to often identify whether it's being rented or owned. I like to be able to identify other details. Where this child goes to school, this child has been to this pediatrician for the last 6 months or 4 years, whatever it may be. You need to give details that support the idea and your assertion that this child and a parent or a person acting as a parent has been here in New Jersey for at least 6 months before the custody action was filed. Now, the second basis for jurisdiction under the UCCJEA is significant connection. Now, that's much more fact-sensitive. Significant connection under the UCCJEA means that if a child and at least one parent have a significant connection with the state, New Jersey can take jurisdiction, but there must be substantial evidence in the state concerning the child's care, protection, training, and personal relationships. So, perhaps you haven't been here for a full 6 months yet, but the child is enrolled in daycare or has already been enrolled and registered in school. Perhaps there's family members here. Perhaps parent A is originally from New Jersey and their entire extended family is here. So there's personal relationships and connections that tie a child and at least one parent to the state of New Jersey. Again, those are fact-centric inquiries and things a court will be interested and want to hear. Now, the third basis for jurisdiction is something called more appropriate forum. This is where the UCCJEA starts to get a little nebulous. This type of jurisdiction, more appropriate forum, exists when both the home state and the significant connection jurisdiction have declined to exercise jurisdiction on the ground that a court of another state is a more appropriate forum. So again, it's somewhat mechanical. We're moving down the statute, but fact-centric inquiries must occur. A court is going to want to know why the home state or the significant connection jurisdiction declined to exercise jurisdiction. If there's a court order or something, a letter, whatever it may be from those courts, describing that, explaining that, they're going to want to see it. They're going to want to know why New Jersey is a more appropriate forum. And vice versa, by the way. It could be that New Jersey may have home state jurisdiction or even significant connection jurisdiction, but New Jersey can actually decline jurisdiction in favor of a different, more appropriate forum. So here's our next one, just in case your mind isn't already exploding with these details. It's possible to establish jurisdiction if there's no other state where jurisdiction could exist. So perhaps you are a family, could be a celebrity family, could be a layperson. Perhaps they're moving around, they're in between jobs, or perhaps following the pandemic, they gave up their permanent home to travel or to work, whatever it may be. This type of jurisdiction exists when no court of any other state would have home state, significant connection, or more appropriate forum jurisdiction. So again, it will be fact-centric. Well, why don't those other types of jurisdiction apply? And why should I, here in New Jersey, exercise jurisdiction? All of these bases for jurisdiction are important. They're set forth in our statute here in New Jersey. And they're mechanical in that you literally move through the statute to see how you can exercise jurisdiction. But each of them require that fact-sensitive inquiry I keep referencing. I realize that is a brain full, so hopefully everyone understands it. It is a lot. This is a really mechanical, fact-centric process, and it also tends to be incredibly expensive, mostly because, as you could probably tell, these are really in-depth analyses. They also traditionally require significant evidence. Evidence usually means testimony. So when it comes to UCCJEA inquiries, it is rare when a court will simply decide the matter on the papers. There's often a trial.
So if a case is being heard by judges in two different states, do people need to retain counsel from both of those states?
I traditionally recommend that people do. I do acknowledge that that can be incredibly expensive and sometimes cost prohibitive. So in those circumstances, I recommend that people at least confer with counsel in what I'll call the competing jurisdiction. Quite frankly, when clients are going through these types of jurisdictional battles, it's important to understand what they're up against. Does the other jurisdiction have more favorable custody provisions? I would want to know that before I fought custody. What happens if they were to lose the jurisdiction battle and have to litigate there? It's simply a matter of education, and I do believe it's important that clients have that. So I do recommend that they certainly at least consult, if possible, retain counsel.
And if a person can't afford two attorneys, do states such as New Jersey have options such as legal aid where people can turn to?
They unfortunately do not within the family part on these sorts of issues. That's why I tell people, certainly if they can't afford to retain counsel and have them waiting in the wings, at the very least, pay for the consultation. It is worth it.
Rebecca, for people who want to learn more about this, how do they get in touch with you?
Thanks, Alyssa. Again, my name is Rebecca Frino. I am counsel with the firm of Mandelbaum Barrett in Roseland, New Jersey. Feel free to check out our webpage at mblawfirm.com.
Rebecca, as always, thank you so much for joining us. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back after this commercial break.
Contact Rebecca Frino, counsel in the family practice of Mandelbaum Barrett PC of Roseland, New Jersey. Rebecca Frino devotes her practice exclusively to family law, and she has substantial experience in mediation, arbitration, and litigation of family law matters. Over a decade of experience within the field, Rebecca is part of the family practice with combined decades of experience in this area, and they have a well-known reputation of being zealous advocates who instill confidence in their clients and protect their interest. Rebecca Frino restores order to the chaos that can be caused by divorce and other tumultuous events for families. Mandelbaum Barrett PC has over 90 years of experience in providing their clients with the highest level of personal hands-on attention. Contact Rebecca Frino at 973-243-7978, 973-243-7978, or visit us at mblawfirm.com. That's mblawfirm.com.